I just have to say the choir got it right.
Because
there's a constructing that needs to happen, and there's a deconstructing that needs to happen. Israel has been deconstructing its theology. I mean, Ezekiel has been deconstructing a false theology for most of his life. They had this royal theology that said, we are God's people, God loves us, therefore nothing that we do can be wrong. And Ezekiel was calling them on it and saying, God is going to wage battle against you. And they didn't believe him. So finally, after they have lost the battle with God and been taken over by the people of Babylon, they've been taken off to Babylon, their leaders, they've been taken away from their home, their people, their institutions, the temple, then it's time for Ezekiel to give them a new word of the Lord, which is a word of hope. And that's where we pick up the story of Ezekiel today. One more thing about Ezekiel, he's crazy. Okay, you read the book of Ezekiel and you will see some of the most outrageous imagery. If someone doesn't share Ezekiel in a spirit of somewhat of that same craziness, they're not really interpreting Ezekiel correctly. So listen for the word of the Lord as we hear from the book of Ezekiel, beginning from the first verse of chapter 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and carried me out by his spirit and put me down in a certain valley, and it was full of bones. He made me go to and fro across them until I had been all around them, and they were exceedingly dry. And he asked me, human, can these bones live? And I said, Lord God, only you know. And he said to me, prophesy over the bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord God proclaims to these bones, I am about to put breath in you and you will live again. I will put muscles on you and place flesh on you and cover you with skin. And when I put breath into you and you come to life, you will know I am the Lord. And I prophesied just as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a great rustling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and suddenly there were muscles on them. The flesh appeared, and they were covered with skin, but there was no breath in them. He said to me, prophesy to the wind, human, prophesy. Say to the wind, hear the word of the Lord. Come from the four winds, breath, breathe into these slain, and let them live. And I prophesied just as he had bidden me, and when the breath came into them, they came to life and stood on their feet, a mighty host. And he said to me, human, these bones are the whole people of Israel. They say, our bones are too dry. Our hope has perished. Our thread of life has snapped. We are finished. So now, prophesy to them. Say to them, the Lord God proclaims, I am opening your graves. O my people, I will raise you up from your graves, and I will bring you to Israel's fertile land, and you will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, my people, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will plant you on your fertile land, and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act. This is the very word of the Lord. Ezekiel's crazy. You know, he's just crazy. And that's some of the more tame stuff out of Ezekiel. I read that passage. You know, sometimes you read a passage like that and you just have to free associate. And I was thinking about this valley of dry bones and thinking, what's a picture of a valley of dry bones? And for some reason, something came into my mind. It was the movie High Noon with Gary Cooper and Grace Kelly. Okay, it's 50 years old, but it's still good. Sheriff Will Kane's ready to retire. On the day of his marriage and retirement, he hears that the worst criminal he ever put in prison is coming to town and gunning for him. Kane is told, go ahead and leave, we'll be fine. He gets in the buggy with his bride. He heads out of town. And yet, after just a few miles, he has to turn around because he knows that he needs to lead the people to be safe from this horrible outlaw and his gang. But he gets back into town, and at great risk to his life, oh, and by the way, his wife that he's been married to now for about an hour is a Quaker and a pacifist. She's furious. She's furious, and she says, if you do this, I'm leaving you. I'm taking the noon train and heading out of town. But Kane goes back. He goes to that symbolic place of Manly Man, the saloon, and he tries to round up a posse. But no one will help. They're all afraid. Then he goes to that symbol of goodness and righteousness, the church. But the church people don't want to get involved in a controversy. Nobody will help him. Nobody will stand up to the bad guy. And at high noon, in this image that just is riveted in my mind, it's one man facing the five bad guys in the middle of the street. And he overcomes everyone except one. The bad guy has the sheriff in his sights, but his new wife has come back, and she's the one who saves him. And as the last bad guy falls, Sheriff Kane pulls his new wife close. As the town people now come out of hiding and gather around, he silently looks at them with contempt. Just before he reins in his team of horses to pull away, he takes off his sheriff's star and flicks it in the middle of the street where it lands in the dust. Now that's a valley of dry bones. Because when we hear the Bible, so often we think about ourselves alone. But this is a story about a people, a town, a religion that had turned into dust. They had no spirit in them. They had no hope. They were exiles in Babylonian captivity. Their land had been ravaged, their temple destroyed, their families scattered. They were refugees in a strange land, and they regarded this political and military defeat as an irrevocable judgment of Marduk, the god of the Babylonians, that Marduk had prevailed, and that their god, the god of Israel, Yahweh, had proven impotent, inadequate, and insufficient. Babylon is a code word for hopelessness. This vision of dry bones is an image of the power of Babylon to rule not over just their lives politically, not just over their religion, but to rule over their imagination. They had no sense of hope. Their minds were exceedingly dry, and as a people, they had fallen apart. Israel in Babylon is filled with hopeless people singing sad songs and scoffing. They're giving up and giving out their bleached out bones, dry, dusty, and dead, without hope, and they have reached a dead end. And you know, you hear that story and you say, I understand. We understand. Because we know about dead ends, don't we? We know about dead ends, bankruptcy, cancer, depression, abuse, loveless relationships, unemployment, disease, grieving the loss of a loved one, conflicts that won't budge. We know about dead ends of peace in the Middle East. We know about violence in our own streets and the dead end of the profound imbalance in the global economy. And we know about giving up on environmental protection. We know about dead ends. dead ends and dry bones seems to be the way the world works. And so we end up lying motionless, stuck, having hit a brick wall, mired in intractable conflicts, exhausted options, drained and depleted. Our common denominator seems to be the dead ends, and it's all the power of Babylon to rule in our imaginations and make us hopeless. But what's missing? There's something missing. There's something missing in those people of Babylon. What changed to let Babylon win? Somehow they had given up on listening to the living God. The primary seducer is despair, and now all of a sudden Ezekiel comes with a new word, a word of the Lord that summed up says, hope, hope in the Lord. Have confidence in God. There is yet a wonderment that you have not imagined. There is something that can bring all these dry bones together and connect them not just with one another, but with the Spirit of God that'll breathe in their lungs. The counter to the immobilizing despair of the people in Babylon is the promise of hope that God gives. It is the word of the Lord, the wind that blows life into a social body. It is the word of the Lord that lifts a people out of despair. And it is God's resolve to do the impossible, the unthinkable, the unimaginable, and the heretofore unutterable. But now the unutterable is spoken, and the bones are brought together. The word of the Lord, primordial, all of a sudden speaks again. The word of God is relentless to bring life even where hope has died. And into the midst of the vagaries, pretensions, the lies, and illusions of Babylon, God stands at the center of all creation and has the power to give a new beginning. Prophets are such interesting people in the Bible. Take a look at the prophets and you see again and again, they have an acute awareness of distress. In this story, Ezekiel has to walk all around and see just how extensive the bones are and how dry and brittle and hopeless they are. The prophet walks around the center, the edges from every perspective and sees hopelessness all around. And it is yet in the midst of that hopelessness that the wind of God flows through their words, through his words. The prophet speaks in outrageous language. He recognizes the dominant culture of Babylon has a chokehold on people's imagination, that the royal opinion makers dominate people's opinion with a cascade of mind-numbing ideology, pseudo-reality sponsored by Babylon. The prophets speak in outrageous and extreme images to disrupt this image of reality. And they carry Israel to the edge of the imagination and to someplace new. Just when Israel had settled on permanent despair, the prophet proclaims in fresh and attention-getting ways a word that heals and brings people together. A word that brings out of the valley of death life. It is an extraordinary act of courage about this possible future, and it is an invitation to the faithful to heal at its broken places, to connect again at the disconnected places and among the disconnected people. Precisely when the prophet speaks, the word of the Lord comes and says, "You bones, it's time to come together, and all your dead places will live again." God is speaking and calling them to life. And into the deathly hopelessness comes the breath of God, and the bones rattle. They come together, and they become a body, and they stand up together, and they find strength together, they find protection together, and they start dancing together. It's an alternative reality to the death-dealing ideology of Babylon, with an outrageous sense of hope that can only come from the Lord God himself. The prophet, skilled in poetry, refuses to conform to the dominant ideology of Babylon. And through God, the faithful have a new vision of reality that is available to them now. When you read this passage, you can see this choice that people have to make. It's the struggle of the human spirit. Do you stay in the valley of the shadow of death? Do you stay defined by the fear and the cowardice? Or do you choose the word of the Lord, the faith, the courage that brings people together and leads them into a new day? Hold in your mind those two images and ask, which am I choosing this day? To live in which place, with which people? Am I ready to be living again in new ways? Because God is relentless. And God comes through these cold, odd, abrasive prophets with mostly unwelcome voices, and yet nevertheless speaks a word of hope. As the prophet says, stop letting Babylon define you. Stop taking Marduk so seriously. Stop allowing the pretensions of the royal ideology to define your reality. Because at the heart of reality is not anything less than the living God. And it is God whose spirit beats in our hearts and breathes in our lungs and brings us to life when we were part of that valley of dry bones. Because God has the ability to make all things new. So don't be fooled by the dead ends. And don't trust in Babylon's narrative. Don't believe in the way of the world. And don't bet on the pretty ponies and the powerful kings and the piles of money. And just because somebody says it's over doesn't mean it's over. And the end is not the end. For when you are in the Spirit of the Lord, you are not without power. You have found a new day. And the Spirit of the Lord will breathe upon us and pull us together. And give us strength and put the breath of God back in us, that we too may speak that life-giving word. And then the brittle bones will band together and find life. Isn't that the story of the Bible from beginning to end? From beginning to end, from Abraham and Sarah, that dry, old, crusty man, that barren old woman who give birth to a son. Moses in the wilderness with a hard-headed people of God, and all of a sudden water comes out of a rock. And Jesus, where a virgin bears a son, and the garden tomb will soon be celebrated because we see how empty it is. And the dead will be resurrected because we, too, are part of that ongoing story of the valley of the dry bones who come together again and breathe. So despite all the overwhelming evidence, we continue to proclaim the hope that the breath of God will roar with the sound of a tornado that will rattle the dry bones and bring them together. And marriages that are dead in the water will find new winds of love. And stone-cold drunks will breathe sober. And those embalmed with greed we'll be alive again with compassion. And the poverty of spirit will be transformed and become flush with richness of love. And those dry with depression will be drenched with deep laughter. And this old world will be turned upside down, and the refugees will dance with justice and mercy and peace. And death will not have the last word. Gosh, in graduate school, I had so much fun because I got to go to different places and listen to different preachers. My favorite place to go was at the black church at Yale. Because then you'd have this call and response, which, you know, of course, we Presbyterians are Presbyterian pastors are far too dignified to do, and you are too dignified to participate in. But they would have said something like this: can these dry bones live? And the congregation would say, yes, they can. Can these dry bones live? When the toe bones stop whining. Can these dry bones live?
Yes, they can.
When the foot bones start kicking. Can these dry bones live?
Yes, they can.
When the leg bones start rising up. Can these dry bones live?
Yes, they can.
When the hip bones stop sitting on their wallets. Can these dry bones live?
Yes, they can.
When the back bones start showing some spine. Can these dry bones live? When the head bones open up to good ideas, can these dry bones live?
Yes.
When the jaw bones break their silence and start to sing out, can these dry bones live?
Yes.
When all of the pile of bones stop sitting and get off of their tailbone, can these dry bones live?
Yes.
When the breath of the Spirit of the Lord infuses the people and they breathe deeply and find that once again, we have come together for life. Amen.